You are listening to a podcast from Raritan Valley Community College.
Okay, I think I'm on. Hello, everybody. How's it going today? Good? Thank you for the introduction. I appreciate that. I want to give you a little bit more background on who I am and where I've come from and how far I've gotten to get here, because I think everyone can relate to a little bit of it. I grew up in Wildwood Crest, New Jersey. I'm sure maybe half of you know that, where it is, or maybe half of you remember where it is. And I ended up in senior year of high school at Wildwood High getting a EOF scholarship. I don't know if you know about the EOF program, to Fairleigh Dickinson University. When I was there, I studied communications, psychology, and I minored in Spanish. And as I was going through college, I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. I did know I wanted what I wanted to do, and I took advantage a lot of the partying, the fun, and the offers for credit cards. I didn't have any idea what the rates were and how it was going to affect me 5 years later after college. Okay. Senior year, I graduated, but I quickly had my daughter. Her name is Summer. She's 9. And my son, he's 4. He's Troy, and ended up moving out to Hunterdon County. As soon as I had my daughter, I started to work for the big banks, PNC. I worked my way up as a teller to a platform consultant. And then after that, I worked for Provident Bank, ran a couple branches. When I decided to move to Hunterdon County, I had to get a job closer to my children. And I found this non-for-profit financial credit union that I knew nothing about, and just gave it a try, put my resume in, and said, hey, I have a little bit of background. You know, I could do a little calculations here and there. Let's see, you know, see how I can run branches and network. So when I joined Affinity, I didn't realize what this non-for-profit financial institution was about. And we are here for the community, not just to open a bank. Oh, do you have a bank account? Would you like another one? I'm not into that. I'm into teaching what exactly it is that, you know, our young adults need to know in this world right now, in our ever-changing financial industry, to get a good grip on their future finances. Because if you don't start now, it's going to linger with you 25 years down the road. Okay, so we're going to go into some slides, and we'll go through them. I want to get an idea from you guys. Okay, how many of you have a checking account? How many of you have a savings account? Okay, how many of you work while you're in school? Okay. Now, those who are working while they're in school, okay, who has a retirement plan with that job? Ooh, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you're starting now. That's good, you're getting ahead. Now, that's gonna be part of my slide later, but I want you to hold on to retirement account because this is so important. If you don't get anything out of today, out of anything else I say, just make sure you remember retirement, okay? Now, as you know, all of you must know that you guys are under a lot of pressure with, you know, with your students and your fellow peers. I'm not so sure anymore if it's something that you guys nowadays are pressured into, like the latest sneakers or the hottest car, or I need rims for this or radio for that. I'm kind of out of that loop right now, but I'm assuming that some of you think that's a need rather than a want, right? Okay. Let me back up a little bit. I should have said at the beginning, a little more brief about me. Before Wildwood Crest, New Jersey, I lived in the Appalachian Mountains, and I was pretty much raising myself since baby till 5 years old, okay? When my grandparents got a hold of me, they told me at 6, you're gonna go to college and you're gonna pay for it yourself. A lot of guys, girls, women, men, they don't know nowadays what it's like to, guess what? At 6 years old, you got to figure your life out. It's a different world now, you know? So fast forward, I learned to do that on my own. And a lot of my own life experiences fall into play a big role into what I'm going to tell you about today. Okay, back to the needs and wants. You probably know what the difference is. I'm just assuming because it's common sense what the difference is between needs and wants. But I got a couple like ahas when I was talking about sneakers. Because that's, you think it's a need. Well, technically it's a need. You got to walk around. But do you need the hottest Jordans out right now? No. I'm sure you could get cheaper pair and it will do just as good. I don't know. You know? Overspending can become an addiction. Or it is an addiction that can lead to debt and bankruptcy. Okay? Before we move on, can you guys give me an example of needs versus wants? I need one need and one want. Go ahead. A shelter is a need. Mm-hmm. Is a TV. Very good. Anybody else? Can we get more? Very good. More complex? No? A need is education, right? The want is the school, okay? Which plays a big part in budgeting for school. How much are books now? $350, a biology book? Is that a need or a want? It's a need, right? Yeah, you guys have it hard right now because it's a little distorted about what exactly it is, the difference between your needs and wants. So I'm sure you guys know how to budget a little bit, especially those with checking accounts. You know not to get overdrawn in your account, or you get a $35 fee, or you get a fee for this, or a fee for not making your account balance back to zero. So you really, really do need to step back and look at every single expense that you are responsible for. And make it your responsibility. Make it. You do have a lot of people that help. There's resources to help you. But if you don't make it your responsibility, you're going to see in 10 years how it's going to fall back on you. Okay. So what do you guys, when I talk about budgeting, let's like brainstorm a little bit. What do you think that you should be doing to budget? What are like some steps that you can come up with? Like when I think about budget, you want to what? What's your action plan? Go ahead in the back. Set up retirement account, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. You guys got it. It's debits versus credits. And I'm going to ask another question. How many of you actually took 15 minutes out of your day and sat down and wrote your income on one side of the page and all of your responsibilities that you have to pay for on the other? How many of you actually took 15 minutes to ever do that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-ish. Yeah. It's hard because facing that fact, especially if you are kind of too far ahead in debt and you're overwhelmed, it's hard to face that. You know? Like, oh my gosh, I didn't even start budgeting. Well, you got to start now. And it's as simple as a piece of paper. What's coming in is your income. What's going out is your debits. And then whatever is left over is what's going to go to your either other responsibilities, your wants, or your future. All right, so we We discussed a little bit about checking the savings account. I see you guys have a really good knowledge on checking and savings account and how that works. Who is PNC? HSBC? Bank of America? Wells Fargo? A credit union? One, two, two. Did you know that there's a credit union here in RBCC? Do you know what a credit union is? Okay. It's a non-for-profit financial institution. Okay. Has the same products as the big banks. So it has checking, your savings account, gives out checks, debit cards, mortgages, retirement plans, same exact thing. Biggest difference is when you actually have an account with a credit union, you own a portion of that organization. And I'm speaking on all credit unions, behalf of all credit unions. Okay, so what happens is you don't need direct deposit. You don't have to get a statement fee. The big banks need to make their revenue, right? Credit unions are non-for-profit. So the way your money comes back is financial literacy things like today. We help you with auto loans if you're a first-time student. We help you with a secured line if you're a first-time student. Or if you're even a third or fourth-time student. If you're a student or if you know of someone that's been in bankruptcy, we help you for free. Now, with a larger corporation, it's going to cost you fees. $300 or $400 to help you get out of some debt. Okay. Now, a lot of our accounts here at Affinity, we have Connect accounts. So that would usually be between the ages of 13 to 17. But for you guys, it would be a regular Affinity account with no minimal balance and no direct deposit. So you can start learning how to manage your money. You know, checking and savings account are, as you know, are a great way to help young adults learn to manage money. Credit unions or bank statements are used as proof of any kind of bills. Like for example, when you go to DMV and they have to have that 6-point thing, you know, you have to renew your 6 points. A bank statement counts as one of, I think it's 2 points or 1 point at DMV. So there's a lot of perks with actually being involved with a financial institution. If you don't have a checking account or savings account and use a check cashing store, what do they take, like $10 out of your check? You know? Now, there are people that have to use check cashing places because of what they did to their checking and savings accounts while abusing it. So they had to shut you down altogether. So sometimes that's your last resource, is to use a check cashing place. Okay, so those that are with the bigger banks, the PNC, the HSBCs, the Bank of America, so forth, when they opened up your account, did they actually read the fine print to you? Did you guys go over monthly fees, exactly what's going to be taken out on a monthly basis? Did you understand and they explained to you? Okay, good. Because the literature they give you while you open the account, it's not just to bore you. It's to let you know, here's what your responsibility is. If you don't set up direct deposit, you will get a $5 fee. Well, I thought it was a free account. You told me it was a free account. It's a free account if you get direct deposit. I gave you the literature. Read the fine print. Read it. It's boring, but read it. Because then if you're in something that you thought was free, you already signed up. You signed up for it. So, of course, when you go to the bank, you have to have your social security number, your driver's license, all those fun forms. We want to know who you are. We're not trying to be annoying and give a consensus to the United States government. Oh, this kid's going to this school and he's in here and he's banking with this. How much taxes can we get? No, we are looking to make sure your identity is safe. There's huge identity theft out there that you have to make sure you keep. Keep your social security number safe. I've seen a lot of issues come across my desk, Katie. I don't have a BMW. Katie, I don't own a house in Palm Springs. make sure you're watching your credit. Start saving now by setting aside a certain amount of money each time you receive money. So those who have a retirement plan, a few people that are here, is it directly taking out of your paycheck, or do you actually put it into the retirement account itself? Can someone tell me who has a retirement plan now? Go ahead. It's taken right out of your paycheck, and you don't even see it, right? On your Fidelity account. Is it a 401k? Okay, great. Now, those who work, just give me an idea. What do you do with your money other than your responsibilities? Are you putting the rest in a savings account or retirement plan? Or are you using it to buy your wants? Go ahead. Great. Good. It's kind of hard, right? Because you're kind of getting nothing afterwards. But it's going to be something later. Do you guys know that you have the option to split your check and to put it into different accounts without you even physically touching your check? Yeah, some of you do. You can. You just have to ask the human resource department who you're with the organization. You also have to have enough money saved up. Again, more of a common sense slide for unexpected expenses in the future. Let's say you have an older car. You keep putting new alternator in, a new ignition starter. In the foreseeable future, is that going to be an expense later? Probably, right? So you have to save towards your goals. On here, it says to reduce the amount you need to borrow to pay for a car, college, furniture, vacation. Yeah, these are goals that you won't have to use for credit, but you can use credit for. Okay. How do you guys manage your accounts? Online, or do you guys use a register? I almost forgot the word. And I'm in banking. Online? Everybody else does registers? You go to the bank, and you bother the teller and you say how much I have today? Be like, I saw you again. Yes, it's the same. Registers are as equally as important as online banking. What if tomorrow you guys wake up? Let's just theoretically, what if you wake up tomorrow and your computer doesn't work and just let's say there was a blackout? What would you do to look up your money? What if they have a blackout, which happens often? What would you do? You got to go back to old banking basics, unfortunately. You should have an idea every single day how much you have in your account. Does anyone know what an actual booklet is to hold? You do. Okay, yeah. I do. I was adopted by grandparents, so I know I was the old school, write the checks, you know. So, remember that. If tomorrow the electricity doesn't work and you don't know to go online, you need gas to come to school, you don't really know how much you have in your account. So just remember, make sure you know your balance every day. Writing checks. Who uses checks? I do. Half of you don't. Some of you, this is going to be common sense. I don't know which screen to go to. But I'm just going to go over the importance of the different parts of the check. Okay. Routing number. Does anyone know what a routing number is? Routing. Yeah, what is the purpose of this first set of numbers right here? What bank it's going to, that's correct. Okay. Account number is where your money is, right? So you have your name up here, You have your routing number, your checking account number, and then you have this line here, this box here, a date there, and this big old line that says dollars, right? Can I tell you something? If you're mowing your lawn in the summertime as a part-time job, someone's going to give you money, and they write to Jane Smith, $150 here, but they don't write out the written amount here, $150. What happens when you walk into the bank with that check that's not written out properly? Why? That's right. The bank takes the written amount. They don't care so much about this. Okay. It's important that it's all filled out, right? But we will only take the written amount. If that check is not signed here, on the right-hand side, we're not going to cash it for you. It wasn't signed. How do I know you stole the check? Did you steal the check? Probably not. Because like I said, if there's an electrical outage, how are you going to pay your bills? Online? Probably not, right? You have to go back to the old school way of doing things. We can't lose touch with this. Credit cards. How many people have credit cards in this room? Okay, here we go. Who has a student credit card? You guess you do. You think you do? Okay. Was a credit card co-signed with your family member or friend? Or did you actually get it on your own? Just got magically appeared credit cards? You got it yourself? Did they really? Who's saying it? How did they push it on you? Yeah. Banks love college students. They love college students. Yeah. Oh, come. You could get a point for every dollar you use. So if I use $90,000, I get free airfare. Well, now you're $90,000 in debt. You know what I mean? So let me tell you, when I was in college, I was also pushed to go into a credit card because it was called a student credit card. So I thought I was safe. And then no one explained to me about banking. I knew nothing about banking in college, nothing. I thought when you made a deposit into an ATM machine or like to the teller, it would automatically clear. So what happened was I kept like giving on my work checks and I'm like spending it right away. And I'm like, why is my account negative? Why do I have $35 fees every time? Katie, because you didn't wait for the 2-day clearance. I'm like, oh, well, I wish someone told me. Katie, did you make your payment on your credit card? Oh, did that come in the mail or online? So what happened was, because I didn't realize what an APR was, I didn't realize interest rates and how much it just increases with everything you buy, I ended up getting another credit card, and then another credit card, and then another credit card. I had 8 credit cards maxed out. Nobody taught me the basics of banking. And I was pushed. I was pushed into it. Because I thought I was a young adult and I thought I'm just going to get ahead. Oh, this is how I'm going to build my credit. And then I'm going to buy a house after that. Not with $90,000 debt. It's not going to work that way. Although I'm scaring you right now about credit cards, there's a really good side to it. Credit cards are really important, of course, to build your history. If you don't have a credit card now, you got to start somewhere, right? You have to. Did you guys know that when you get employed, they check your credit? Did you know that? Other than the drug tests, you know? Did you guys know that? And if you have like a score of like 500 and under, you won't get that job. If you don't have a credit card, it's a different situation. They'll say, well, then why didn't you want to start your credit history? Cash is pretty good. Well, don't you want to buy a mortgage someday or a house or a future? You know, would you like to, you know? That's straight cash. That's a boy. Smart. But yes, I was a victim of big banks taking advantage of me. So what I had to do was I tried to pay off as much as I can while I was in college, and I was having no fun at all because all I was doing was paying off my credit cards, okay? But the one good thing was I was paying more than the minimum balance for each of the credit cards. My credit history was going up. A couple years later, I eventually took out a consolidation loan, put the credit cards together, and I had one payment, which helped significantly, which increased my credit even more, okay, which was really important for me to find an apartment to rent after college and to get my first job, which was at a bank. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a good idea for you guys? Like, you know yourselves. You know who you are. Do you think it's a good idea that you should have a credit card in your hand right now? Some of you are saying no. Yeah. You're like, not me. The way I like heels. No. It's good. It's good to have. Don't let me scare you. It's good to have. All right. Now, annual fees on credit cards, they could be anywhere between $60 to $75. Do you guys, have you seen your statement with that annual fee on it? Did you call the credit card company and try to negotiate it? I'd give it a whirl. They have some leverage. They do. They do. Balance transfer fees. There's fees for everything. For example, when I had those 8 credit cards and I was transferring from one to another, that was a fee each and every time. And I'm like, what is this fee? You didn't read the fine print, did you, Kate? No, I didn't. Cash advance fees. I would go to ATMs at my local bank and I would use the credit card to get cash for it, like it was a checking account. That's not how you use a credit card. You get late fees, got them. 0% APR offer. Be careful, again, read the fine print because they're only for a short period of time and they could blow up to 29.99%. And also the skip a month offers. Maybe a few of you have seen them. Oh, you don't have to pay this month. No, I'm paying this month. I'm paying. Because they'll double it next month and your interest is even higher. Okay. Value of good credit. Now, you might have seen the commercial creditkarma.com. Okay. They only take from 2 of these credit bureaus. So I believe it's TransUnion and Experian, I believe. So if you're going to, let's say, the credit union located on campus, and you're like, I need an auto loan, but I know what my credit is, it's 780, so I'm good, right? Ah, hold on. Credit Karma might be a really good tool to utilize to know your range and where you're exactly at, but the only people that are going to know your true credit are the underwriters that are doing any kind of loan or credit card for you. We have many people that have come in across my desk, hey, Kate, I know I can get that boat. I was like, really? Oh, 810 credit score, I got this. I'm like, you might have an 810 credit score, but we also look at other factors as well. Now, you were late here, you were late there. Just because you have a good score, we see the entire history as well. And you don't have a job now? You might have great credit, but no job. How are you going to pay me back? How are you going to pay me back? With your savings, maybe? Good credit will follow you until you get a home or a house. And don't you want something in your own name rather than your parents or your brothers or your sisters, or your uncles or aunts or grandparents who's helping you out? Don't you want it in your own name? She's like, nope. Yes, you do. You want it in your own name. I've actually talked to schools, high schools, where children, kids that are 17 and 18 years old, when they're not checking their credit, their financial, you get a free credit report with the state of New Jersey. They found out their own mother and father took their credit, social security numbers, bought a house. This happens way too often than you guys know. This is why I'm saying you've got to look at your, score, and you got to look at your history, not just the score. Because you might have, that's where I'm saying, somebody came to me and said, I don't have a BMW, Katie. Well, my parents said you do. And you don't live in Illinois, do you? And they're like, mm-mm, identity theft. If you're allowed to be an authorized user of a credit card, are you responsible for that payment? This is a hard one. If your mom owns a credit card and she gives it to you as just an authorized signer, are you responsible for that? Technically, right? Actually, authorized signer is a no. I have to fix this. You're not responsible. Co-signer, difference between authorized user, co-signer. Co-signer, you're responsible. So make sure you know what you are on that credit card. Am I an authorized signer or a co-signer? If you were an authorized signer, co-signer the whole time, and you're like, no, I'm not responsible for that, you're a co-signer. You're responsible. Authorized signer, no, you can spend. As you see here, this might be a little different because FICO is always going up and down and deciding what formulas they want to use. A very good or excellent score is 700 and plus. The range is 300 to 850. Now, at credit unions, in order to apply for any kind of credit card, mortgage, any kind of loan, you have to at least have a 620. But that's only the credit union. Banks, most banks, you have to have 680. Okay? So knowing what your credit score is now, maybe, do you think you could get a loan by yourself right now? Do you even know what your credit score is? Okay. Now, I'm going to open it up a little bit to you guys for open discussion about credit cards, because I want to know, when you use your credit cards, what are you using it for? Are you using it for your wants or your needs as of right now? Your needs. Mm-hmm. Okay. And have you guys ever done a transfer balance, or have you? No? Okay. Just be careful of those fees. You know? I'll give you an example. I was a co-signer on a credit card with my ex-husband. I didn't realize that he had a credit card under my name. And he let the credit card go. And my score was dropping. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I know I'm paying everything. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I said, the utility bill's paid, everything's paid. I get my free credit score and my free history report from the state of New Jersey. I have a credit card under my name. This happens every day. I talk to at least 25 people a day with identity theft. Okay? Another thing I'm going to stress to you guys is, and we said it before, is the employment. You guys are here to work towards a better job, right? Or to work towards a job, correct? So if you're not simultaneously studying and making sure your credit history is going up and up and up, you know, they might hire you based on your book skills, like what you read in class and what you understand and what you may have applied to. But how did you take care of yourself financially? Employers want to know that you're responsible, that you can take care of yourself. If you can take care of yourself, you can take care of the people that you're serving in whatever industry that you're doing, whether it's your own business, especially with entrepreneurs. I'm sure some here are looking to open their own business someday. They are going to look at your personal credit, not the business credit. I just want it to go to the business. Can't the business have its own credit? Not without looking at your history first. Because how are you going to run a business if you weren't running your own finances or how to do it? There's a lot of perks. There's a lot of scary things to credit cards. Okay. Now, you guys are a really good group. I see you have a handle on banking, bank accounts, credit cards. Do you guys have questions that you would be scared if you walked into a bank? Go ahead. Right. Credit history. Secured credit card. Okay. So depending on what financial institution you choose, okay, they have either one, a student credit card where you could be the co-signer on her with her, which I don't recommend. I would rather have that person build their own credit. If you have to, okay, help her out. But second thing is secured credit card. And this happens to a lot of students. So they're saying, no, you know what? Your part-time income wasn't good enough for a credit card. Sorry, you know. What we could do for you is we take, let's say, $250 of your savings account. We put it in a savings account. We freeze it. You can't touch it. And that, we give you a credit card for $250. That's how she gets it. That's how a lot of students have to get it nowadays, because now they're starting to refuse to give to students because students are still in between that stage of need and want, you know, and the books, you know, and no shoes, you know, so secured credit card for her, okay, and probably for a lot of you as well who don't have credit cards. Any other questions? It does, yeah. It actually depends on the situation, okay? So let's say, for example, myself, when I was in college, I had the 8 credit cards. I closed 2 of them and saying, I need to close them and just pay them off. I should have paid them off, then closed it. Why does it go down? I don't know the formula, what FICO wants and why they keep changing it. But it does go down a few points. Continue paying it. When it gets down to zero balance, then close it. But don't close multiple credit cards at once. That'll knock you right down. Yeah. That's right. Keep it open. I mean, you don't have to forever, you know what I mean, if you don't want to. Right, like you said, but if you randomly just like, I'm done, I'll pay it off. No, pay it off while it's open, you know. I get a lot of people that come in and say, what should I pay first, my rent or my credit cards? Credit cards. It's hard, but you also have to pay your rent, so I would say get a second job, you know. But your revolving credit is the most significant thing that's going to impact your credit score. And every time you apply for an auto loan, it goes down 25 points. Anytime you have a hard inquiry, it goes down. A hard inquiry means a bank or a person put a contract in front of you, you signed it, and you said it was okay to check their history. That's a hard inquiry. A soft inquiry are those mailings that you get from random institutions like Discover, let's just say. You're pre-qualified because they probably know a little bit about your demographic from a consensus report that came out, right? It doesn't mean they put a hard inquiry. I remember when people were teaching me the difference between hard inquiry and soft inquiry, I saw that there was all these inquiries. I'm like, oh my God, why is all these banks doing an inquiry on me? I didn't realize some of them were soft inquiries. It's a marketing thing. You can actually shut that off. You can opt out of soft inquiries altogether. I would recommend it. When you're ready to build your credit, when you're ready and responsible enough to pay for this credit card on your own, then put in a hard inquiry. I don't personally like anyone pulling soft credits on me. Okay. Any more questions about credit? Oh, here's another one. I'm in the process of looking to buy my first home, and I'm going through a first home buyer's program, right? And I put the application in. My credit was pretty decent after years of repairing it. And I put the application in. I look at my credit score 30 days later. It went down 26 points. One of the biggest purchases that you're going to make in your life is your home. Okay? And because it's such a big purchase, that's a huge, huge point taker on your credit score. It's a big purchase. And I realized it, but I didn't really know how much it was going to lower my own credit score. We're okay, we're fine, but I'm like, wow, I can't really put in an application for a home for another year or so. Wait about a year. If you do more than three inquiries, hard inquiries yourself, you buy a home, you buy a new Verizon cell phone that requires a contract, and you put an application in for a pre-approval on a home, you just went down 150 points. Bam. And then it takes about 5 years to get it back up. Look, how old are you guys going to be in 5 years? I'm going to be old. But if you do your hard inquiries now, do you think you're going to be ready like in 5 years if you do too many of them? No, when you're supposed to be ready for them? You're going to start all over later in life. So again, I don't want to scare you about credit cards, which I probably did to half the room, but I also wanted you to see the importance of what you do with that credit card, what you buy with that credit card, because they also look at what you buy. If you're constantly buying like food on the boardwalk with your credit card, or you're like getting your hair done with a credit card and you're paying minimum balance instead of the full balance, that's going to affect your credit. If you're buying tires for a car and you pay it off full, points up for you. That's a need. They actually can figure out from what your transactions are, even cash advance for cash. They can figure out what kind of user, what kind of spender you are. They're monitoring us. They want to make sure you're fit to produce and be responsible for your own debt. Because the more people that we have responsible for their own debt and responsible for their own credit, the more the economy can give out loans for homes. And the economy will be ready by the time we're ready to buy a home. They're not trusting us right now since 2008. Because we're like, okay, no income verification, home loans, that's great. I got a home. 5 years later, you don't have a job and you can't pay for it. They want to make sure this generation right here who's in school in this room, regardless of age, that you are fully responsible for your own. Not mommy and daddy, not grandma, grandpa, not aunt, uncle, tia, tio. No. You, they want to make sure you're responsible. And I've had families come in where I've had an 18-year-old and the mother sitting next to me. Well, I'm talking to your 18-year-old. You know? But the biggest thing is, I speak to the 18-year-old or the younger new credit user because they need to learn. They can't be coddled. They're not going to learn how to use it if they're going, can I just use the credit card? Go here. You're not learning. And then you're living with your mom and dad at age 55. You know? For me, it would be my grandparents. Poor grandpa. Okay. But the credit score, again, one thing, keep an eye on your credit number and look at the history. Read the whole thing. Because every day, one out of three people, identity theft. One out of three of you guys sitting here. People are aiming for you. But yet, credit cards are good, right? Now, one last thing I'd like to touch upon is the retirement accounts. Retirement accounts. Now, with you guys that have jobs, are they part-time? Are they full-time? Do they offer those services? They do? Okay. If your jobs offer you retirement plans, do it. You could start out with $2 from your paycheck. Even a penny. Make sure it's coming out of your paycheck and going into a retirement plan with who you're working with. And if you're not working with someone, start an IRA, individual retirement plan. It's kind of like a savings account, but it's just coded differently. That's all. You just can't take the money out until you're older. I believe it's 65 and a half. You got to start now. Because $100,000 doesn't magically add up by the time you're 65. It just doesn't happen until you start now. Yes? If you have a 401k and you quit that job, it either stays there, right? Or you can decide to move it over to your new retirement plan. You have 30 days to do it from the time of request of withdrawal. So for example, I used to work at a salad bar. I managed one when I was in college. They have a retirement plan. I forgot it was even there. And I said, I want to move it over because I work for a bank now. I can get more interest for it. So I didn't know it took 30 days. You have 30 days to move that money from that retirement plan to a new retirement plan. I got a penalty with the IRS. So again, when you're opening these types of accounts, these retirement accounts, these savings accounts, these checking accounts, these credit accounts, make sure you're reading the fine print. Okay? So I would definitely move that into something that's more interest-bearing and you're getting more bang for your buck. And make sure you do it within 30 days. And then you're good to go. You have a question? No? The best way to find your own true credit score. You can call one of the bureaus, not through Credit Karma, either Experian, TransUnion, and what's the other E? You can call one of them and you can actually pay for it. It's not much, I think it's like $5 or something. But your actual history will be free. Because I remember one time I said, oh, I want my free credit score and history. They only send my history. I'm like, well, where's my credit score? They're like, you didn't pay for it. So you do have to pay for that. Okay. Credit Karma is good, though. It is. It's good, but it just kind of gives you an idea of where you're at. Okay. On your checking account? Does it affect your... It does not affect your credit score, unless there's a but, a big but. If you do not bring your accounts up to zero balance, let's say you're negative 110, and three of those were NSFB charges, and you just leave your account in the negative for 60 days or more, the bank's gonna put you in collections. Now, let's say you got an overdraft fee today. Got $35 plus negative $2 for coffee. You forgot to do a transfer from your savings. As long as you bring it up to balance, it won't affect anything. Now, with all financial institutions, it's a great point to bring up, and it's not on my slide. We do check every single one of you through a system called Check Systems. It's not a credit report. We want to see if you've been abusing other banks, or that you abused it in such a way where you had so many non-sufficient fund fees and then you didn't pay them back at a certain time. How are you going to pay us back? How are we going to know? So all banks actually pull custody support. It's not credit, though. It's more of a pattern of your bank usage. But they won't. If you owe the bank after 60 days, you won't be able to open it at bank account for 5 years. 5 years. You have a certain amount of time. You get letters. They don't just say, surprise. Good night. They call you. 9 o'clock at night. Saturday, Sunday, too. They call you. But you know what? That's a great point because, no, it won't affect you, but look at all the money that went to all those purchases. It's hard. It's hard. It's tough. But as long as you bring it back to zero, you're okay. Okay? A lot of people do that. And fees are different everywhere. So you could be at Affinity and there's a $25 non-sufficient fund state, or you could be at Bank of America and it's $36. Affinity's $25. So let's say you have $50 in your checking account, okay? You spend $55. You're negative $5, right? Bank of America put their $35 fee. You're negative $40. So you were negative $5 for one item, and they charged you $35 for being overdrawn for $5. And guess what? Right now in the banking world, they are not going to give that back to you unless you sugarcoat and sweeten them up on the other side of the phone. They might, but if you're calling screaming, they're just sorry. Yep. Yes, Regulation A. Perfect. You also have this beautiful point. You have as an option to either opt in to the overdraft or opt out. So what that means is, if you really do need to take advantage of, you know what, I have $0 in my account, I have to get to work, I'm gonna spend $30 on my debit card, you go for it, you do it. The bank asks you if you want to pay for that fee at the beginning of opening the account, or they should have. You should have. Then you can opt in. If you opt out and you're at $0 in your account and you go to pay for that gas, decline, because you chose what that you wanted it to do with that debit card. Now, if you guys know the difference between debit cards and credit cards, give us an answer. Right. The debit card comes from your checking. Right? Takes out your checking account automatically. Debit cards take it out of your checking account automatically. Credit, you owe. Great questions. Anybody else have anything that they experience that they want to clear up in the banking world that they've run into? No? Okay. So let me ask you a question. Let's see if you're paying attention. What town am I from? Oh, you were listening at the beginning. What was the one thing I told you to leave with that is the most important thing that, and you're going to start reading about it tonight? Goals? Retirement goals? Or do you want to set up a retirement account? You want to start up a retirement account now. You know, because you don't know what's going to happen. Life throws you monkey wrenches like you won't believe. And you're responsible for it. Okay. So good. You guys got that. And debit versus credit. You know, debit comes out of your checking account automatically. Credit is a loan. Okay. If you guys don't have any more questions, I'm good to go. I'm here to answer any private questions.